you to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. Like I said in Sunday school, I like to take usually the last Sunday of the year, sometimes the first Sunday, and I like to challenge God's people. I find myself, if I can say so as humbly as I can, but I find myself in my element when I'm challenging God's people from God's Word, because I like to be challenged. I want God to test my faith, as weak and as frail as it is. I want God to challenge me from the preaching of His Word. I want it to reach deep within inside of my heart and my affections and show me where I'm failing and where I'm weak and what I need to improve, so that by His grace and by His mercy, I will be able to live the life I so desire to live, which is totally dedicated to Christ. And so I love to be challenged by the Word of God. I always have, and I hope and pray I always will be. But I want to challenge you again this morning. I know we've already been challenged in Sunday school, but I want to challenge you again this morning, and I hope and pray God would give me much grace and mercy in doing so. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. He's not saying we shouldn't be hearers, but he's saying don't just be simply hearers, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You already, God, for Your challenge that You've given us already in Sunday school, and how I pray that it stirred our hearts already, and that, Father, we're yearning and longing to know more of Thee. Father, we pray that You'd help us in these latter days in which we find ourselves. I pray that, God, You would encourage us, that, Father, You would come down amongst us, and that, Father, You would turn us again, that, Father, we might see Thy face, and, God, that we might, Father, be encouraged and challenged to live the life of faith we should. I pray that You would encourage Grace Baptist Church this morning. Prepare our hearts, Lord God, for the upcoming days. Lord, we know not what awaits us in 2008. Lord, we know that You do, but Father, we know that we need much more than we have now. Oh God, I pray. Lord, grant us, Lord, Thy blessings. Speak to our hearts and stir in our hearts mightily, we pray, so that we might glorify You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Beloved, allow me this morning to direct your hearts and your minds to another passage of Scripture, which I hope and pray would greatly challenge the faith and determination and devotion of each and every one of us this morning, especially as we stand on the threshold of a new year. For many are the scoffers who are quick to despise and ridicule our faith, and whose voices are multiplying with each new day, Peter tells us, and with the number of those who would depart from the faith greatly increasing. Beloved, the Church of God is in great need of divine assistance and aid, and the faith which worketh by love. We have great need, beloved, of having more than what we have now. The Church of God in general, like we said in Sunday school, is in a most deplorable situation. And yet we find ourselves saying and expressing the same thing the Jews did before God ran them out of Jerusalem and ran them into slavery in Babylon. But we be the children of Abraham. God would not turn His back upon us. And yet, beloved, I fear that if we maintain that same spirit, that God, and He has shown evidences of that already, is beginning to withdraw His presence from the church. We see so little conversions. We see so little consecration and sanctification amongst God's people. And yet we stand behind the doctrines of grace as though these allow us to be spiritual indifference and slothful and have the apathy that we have about ourselves. And beloved, we need much more in this day and age than what we possess now. The course of thy life, declared Thomas Watson many years ago, will speak more of thee than the discourse of thy lips. And how true that is. We live in a generation today who place great emphasis on the intellect, what a man professes to know rather than how a man lives. And though knowledge of Scripture is vital for the believer to live the life of faith, many are ever learning. Many are ever learning. That means increasing intellectually in the knowledge of Scripture. Many are ever learning, the Scripture says, yet who never come to the knowledge of the truth of Scripture. They never come to a practical, applicable, fruitful knowledge of the Scripture, but they're always learning. Intellectually, no man can keep up with them. Intellectually, they can stay right with you. Word for word, they can stay with you intellectually. And yet, their lives are barren and unfruitful of the knowledge of that truth. Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 4 when he says, "But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will," saying to the Corinthians, chapter 4, "and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." But in power. The power of which the apostle speaks is not a power to perform miracles. He's not saying, "I'm coming to see if you can do miracles." But it's that power that accompanies true salvation. I want to come and see that power that transforms the heart and mind and character of its recipients. I want to know of the power of the grace of God which worketh in you. Beloved, and that's exactly what James talks about. Oh, we have to forgive our dear brother Martin Luther because he didn't really like the book of James. Thought it didn't belong in the canon of the Scriptures because he thought it contradicted Romans. James compliments Romans. James is saying, if you know Romans, justification by faith, then put up or shut up. You got to live the life of faith. If you have faith, it's going to produce works in you. And I like James' boldness. James says, "You want to see my faith? Watch my works." Beloved, that is a boldness which only true recipients of grace can claim. Not of their own abilities, but they know that faith that God has given them has produced in them a work which is beyond their own power. And they're saying, "Watch the grace of God move in my life." And beloved, that's what we ought to be striving for as believers. Like we're learning in 2 Peter, improving in those graces. We have to be diligent. The kingdom of God is taken by violence, the Scripture says. We have to constantly be struggling. And I know it sounds very negative for a lot of people, but beloved, that's the glory of the Christian life. That's the Christian warfare. It's a good warfare. It's a good fight. And beloved, we need believers in this day and age who are willing to have that spirit about themselves. Not fighting amongst flesh and blood. Not quarreling with brothers and sisters. Not standing on our own convictions and not esteeming others better than ourselves. But that battle cry, that victory, that strength, that crying, that desire to win the battle against sin and unrighteousness and to see souls converted and to glorify God. Beloved, that's the spirit which so proved the church in days gone by. Beloved, that's exactly what James is doing this morning. For our gospel, Paul says again in Thessalonians 1:5, 1 Thessalonians, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. And beloved, that's exactly what the power of what he's talking about. This is the same power of which James is speaking about here in chapter 1. A power to work, not a power of our own, but a divine working of grace in our hearts that produces fruit in our lives, beloved. That's what James is talking about. Yet I fear, as the Apostle Paul declared in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, that there are many who have a form of godliness. Yet he says, by their lives and conduct, they deny the power thereof. And beloved, if that doesn't define this generation, again, like I said, many speak boldly of their profession, of their knowledge. And yet, beloved, so little of us can live up to that same knowledge we profess to own. Like the old Puritan said, if we could but live our prayer lives, we'd be but godly men and women. And how true that is. If we could just strive and long and desire to be more consecrated and dedicated to the service of Christ, that we would desire more of Christ to be conformed in our hearts and lives and do away with hypocrisy. We ought to hate hypocrisy more in our own lives than we do in others. That's why I like James. No book in the New Testament, actually I believe in the whole Bible, no book in the entire Bible challenges the believer's faith more than James. Read it. if it doesn't challenge you, James challenges you. Back in 1994, we preached through this book. It took us almost 4 years to preach through the book of James. And I'm telling you, it did wonders in our church, and it really made us to come to examine ourselves. It wasn't examining other people, but examining ourselves. Is our faith actually really producing the works, amen, that James talks about? Is it evidencing that we have a true and lively faith? And beloved, I hope and pray that again this morning that we would be challenged for this new year upcoming, because like I said in Sunday school, beloved, we need more than what the average Christian defines his faith to be this day. We need much more than that. We need much more than that. And it's not nothing we can produce ourselves, yet God doesn't promise that to the slothful and the indifferent. He promises that to the diligent. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And beloved, we should hope and pray that God would greatly use us in 2008 so that as other people look at these 22 churches in Coleman, that they might see in Grace Baptist Church something different than what the average Christian possesses to have. And again, that's not in ourselves, but it's working out that great salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God worketh in us both the will and to do His good pleasure. But beloved, that's exactly what we need to have. And I hope and pray that by the grace of God, I can inspire you this morning again and challenge your faith. And it's in that same light of which the Apostle James begins to speak here. James begins here in chapter 1, verse 22, by declaring unto us the difference between hearing only and a doer of the word. And I like that. James is very clear. He's very clear and he's very, very, very conscious about what he's writing about. To be a hearer of the word only, he says, is one who shows much zeal and interest in talking about the truths of God. He's a hearer. But he falls short, he says in our context, of being able to live out those same truths in his daily life, in his conversation, in his conduct. He has a problem. He loves to talk about them. He's a hearer only, and we'll see how he describes that here in a minute. But he's a hearer only. He loves to hear. He sits in churches. He sits in Sunday school. He reads his Bible, might even read other books about spiritual things. He loves to talk about these things. But he's only a hearer. He's unable to see those, or he's unable to have the fruits which should accompany such knowledge. Over in Matthew chapter 7, and let me give you an illustration of what the Lord gave us. Over in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, our Lord uses basically the same example. Listen how our Lord says this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Sounds like he's echoing James, or James is echoing him. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was, listen to that, great was the fall of it. What was the difference between both of them? They both had same storms. They both were building. One was doing what he heard. The other one wasn't doing what he heard. And beloved, that's exactly what James is talking about. There are many hearers only amongst the ranks of God's people. People who sit before God as His people, Jeremiah says, who hear His word preached and even show much zeal and affections for His truth, yet who are hearers only, deceiving themselves. No fruit in their lives. No effectual fruit. And beloved, this is something that we should all be examining ourselves on. I'm not casting stones. Believe me, I'm not trying to pull splinters out of my brother's eye. I realize I have a beam in my own. But these are truths which should call all of us to examine our faith. Not to quickly point fingers and say, that's right, preacher. There's a lot like that. No, we should be examining our own selves. Because beloved, in all reality, many times we're the same way. We hear so much and profess to know so much, and yet I hope and pray by the time we get through James, we'll realize unless we look into the perfect law of liberty, meditate on it, dwell upon it, do everything we can that God's given us, that those truths might be engraven deeply in our hearts, beloved, we'll walk away as hearers only ourselves. The doer of the word, on the other hand, is one who is not only a good hearer, but one who proves he has truly received the word of truth in his heart by his living out those truths in his daily lives. The doer of the word, James says, bears fruit of his hearing of that word. Amen? The doer of the word bears fruit of his hearing of that word. His life, his conduct, his character are being conformed to the truths he's heard. There's a big difference, beloved. And again, I emphasize that because we live in a generation where so many people emphasize the knowledge. And again, they can sit down and talk. They can run over the systematic theology questions. They can run over all the doctrines. They can go one-on-one with you. But when it comes back down to living those truths, having the fruit of that knowledge produced in their life, they're barren and they're unfruitful. And that's what James is talking about. And beloved, the church has always been full of such professing believers. The Lord warns us in Matthew chapter 25. Those exhortations are towards the church. You know, the tares and the wheats and the five foolish virgins. Those are messages to the church. Before Christ's coming, that you're going to have a lot of false professors amongst true professors. You're going to have a lot that look like the other five wise virgins. They look and they talk and they walk. They're just like them. Yet they're lacking oil in their lamp. And they don't realize it until the Lord of the house, the master of the house returns. And the tares and the wheats are the same. Those are messages to the church. Regardless of what your eschatology is, that's the messages to your church. And beloved, that's exactly what's going to happen, and it's happening now. And these truths should work so mightily in us that we should be examining our own hearts and our own lives, that we not fall short of that. And beloved, we all are, and I can't help but emphasize that. We all are too much hearers of the word only. And I hope and pray that the encouragement and exhortation here given by James would excite us to be more doers of the word this morning. Amen? So with that briefly said, let's look first of all at the vanity or the unprofitableness of being a hearer of the word only, what James says here. He says, a man looking into a mirror. Look verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man's beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He uses a comparison here of a hearer only. It's like somebody standing in front of a mirror. As long as he's standing in front of that mirror, he sees himself, which is magical. But as soon as he removes himself from that mirror, he forgetteth what he saw. And that's exactly what a hearer is. A hearer will sit during the services and might even be emotionally stirred by what's being said. Might even admit that what's being preached is the truth. It might even do something in his mind, even in his emotions. Yet as soon as he walks out that door and gets back out into the world, it doesn't take long before he forgets. And those truths that he heard and thought impressed his heart, they don't impress his heart out there. They only impressed him for the moment right here. And beloved, I'm telling you, there's countless of people sitting in churches who have that experience every Sunday. Ask them what they heard on Sunday. Come Tuesday night, the majority of Christians will go, I don't know, what was it? We're too often hearers only. We don't take the preaching of the word as seriously as we should. We think because we've heard something and it's impressed us and it's moved us and it's stirred in us that it's actually automatically going to remain in us. Beloved, that's not true. We've got to give a lot of diligence. And we'll see that in a few minutes. We've got to look into it. Amen? We've got to meditate upon it. We've got to use the divine means of grace to have that truth driven even deeper because we know the vileness and wickedness and proneness of our hearts to so quickly forget those impressions of God's mercy and love and grace and truth in our hearts. That's a believer that knows himself and God. Too often we don't do that, do we? Too often we get out and the birds, like the sower and the seed, come by and pluck them out of our hearts. The troubles and cares of the world, remove it out of our hearts. Beloved, if we really understood the importance of the preaching of the Word of God, we would use all divine means given us that the messages that have impressed our hearts remain in our hearts and are not so quickly forgotten. We have hearts like sacks with holes in it. And every true believer who knows himself realizes that. And so he gives a lot of concentration, a lot of effort in keeping that which God has given him. He's not a hearer only. He's a doer of the word. Amen? And that's what James is talking about. And so it is with the hearer only. He sits under the preaching and hears the word of truth. As long as he is presently hearing it, he sees the truth. He'll even admit to it. And as soon as he departs, he forgets what he has seen and heard. It leaves his heart and his mind unaffected by what he heard. He's a hearer only. Christ himself alluded to the same danger in Matthew chapter 13. If you turn with me there in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 14 and 15. Usually I read these out, but there's so many scriptures this morning, I didn't want to write them all out. So I thought we'd just turn the pages of God's Word this morning. Matthew chapter 13, in verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Our Lord used the same analogy as James is talking about. And straightway have forgotten what manner of man he was, is what James says. He's forgotten. That's a doer, that's a hearer of the word only. But whosoever looketh, again James again. But whosoever looketh, look at the difference that James is declaring here in verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and watches and continueth therein. You see the difference? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. The difference is the hearer of the word, momentarily, temporarily, he's impressed. Yet because he's not looking into the word, he's not continuing in the word, he's happy with a temporary influence upon his life. So he walks out the door, he gets away from the message, and it leaves him just as quickly as a man walked away from the mirror. He's only impressed as long as he's confronted by the truth. But when he goes out into the world, the truth doesn't have an effect on him. Beloved, that's a perfect sign of a hypocrite. A hypocrite shows himself pious, devoted, amongst believers in the moment. Yet in life, in the world, he cannot produce the fruits of a true believer. And so as long as people's around, he produces something. He shows something. He's like the five foolish virgins. He can keep up with them to a certain extent, but he has no evidence of fruit in his life. That's a hearer of the word only. He's only impressed for the moment. But a doer of the word is different. A doer of the word, James says, looks. Now to look upon something is much more than merely glance upon it. But it means to actually lean over it. Wonderful what an English dictionary can do. It means to observe it more closely, to pry more into it. You know, like about Mondays, especially if the services on Sunday has been very challenging, I wake up Monday morning convicted. You say, you must have a strange Christianity. I don't. I just know there's a lot of changing need done in my heart. And when I feel conviction, I know God is stirring in my heart. And He's transforming me. He's removing those things. And conviction is not always a very uncomfortable thing. Sometimes a conviction is a blessed thing. But I love it when I wake Sunday morning and the message from Sunday is fresh on my heart and my mind, because then I know God is working in me. And that's when you begin to look into it. You begin to pry over it. You bend over it. You pry into it more. What does this mean? What does it mean for me? What's God doing in me? That's what a doer of the Word does. Like that when the disciples did when they looked into Christ's sepulcher, said they leaned over and looked inside of that. Afraid to walk in, they leaned over and they looked inside. Beloved, that's a doer of the word. Because again, this doer doesn't simply mean, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to live this now, I'm going to force myself. No, a doer of the word is what James is talking about. A doer is something that's actually, he's activated, he's motivated by the hearing of it, by the grace of God, but by the hearing of it, he's motivated to look more into it. That's what preaching is all about. Preaching should never substitute the believer's individual responsibilities of prayer and meditation, of examining yourself, of looking more into the truth. Amen? And that's what a doer of the word is, someone who looks into it. This word has a threefold meaning, actually, and a threefold contrast to that of the slothful hearer. First of all, it declares a deep meditation. When you look, you're meditating deep upon what you've heard. Amen? He looks into the perfect law of liberty. Remember Psalms chapter 1? How it talks about the blessed man. He meditates day and night. That's looking. That's the same expression which James is of looking. It's a deep meditation. And beloved, this is a lost art for God's people today. I'm telling you, with all the knowledge we have at our fingertips and all the books and all the sermons online, I'm telling you, believers have forgotten the virtue of meditating. And I don't mean just meditating, go out someplace and meditating. I mean, that's good. But brother, when you go out to meditate, have something to meditate about and someone to meditate on. Amen? And usually it's the reading of the Word of God or the preaching that's done that. There's a lot of country space out here. A lot of room to be alone with God. Beloved, don't give me an excuse that my life's too busy and too hectic. Well, if it is, then don't complain about your spiritual poverty. Amen? We learned in Daniel. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and Daniel was a very busy man. He was head of all those princes and everything else. Daniel still had time to pray 3 times a day to his God. And it just kind of, it stirs in my heart, it breaks my heart, it grieves me, and makes me sometimes even angry to hear Christians say, well, I just don't have enough time. Well, God doesn't mean very much to you, because if you had time to do what you love to do, you would find time to do it. You would find somebody to help you to do what you want to do. And we all must humbly confess that, right? If we loved God the way we profess to love God, we'd love to spend time with Him and meditate upon these things and look into these things and pry into these things. Beloved, that's the way the forefathers used to do, and it's something we've lost today amongst Christians. We ought not to lose that. A doer of the Word is one who deeply meditates and ponders the truths of God. He knows. He's prone to lose the impressions of God's Word on his heart. He knows that. So when God has spoken to him, especially under preaching, he's so careful and cautious about keeping that in his heart, because he knows that he's so prone to lose those impressions. You know, the truths of God are digested and ripened by meditation. You know that? They're digested and they're ripened by meditation. It's a divine means of grace. God will speak to us in the Word of God. There's something about preaching. I listened last week again. I've heard it for years back. But Ian Murray on preaching, fantastic job on preaching and what preaching's all about, and one of many. But there's something about preaching that God has divinely, sovereignly, providently chosen to be more effective in the believer's life than any other thing you do. And I believe that. Amen? I believe that. It's the power of God unto salvation. And when God speaks to us through preaching, beloved, those are the jewels we have to be specifically careful about, of keeping in our hearts and prying into them and praying over them. Oh, and they've been in our hearts, even if it's a conviction, even if it's a rejoicing, even if it's a wonderful moment, even if it's an exposing of something very uncomfortable. Beloved, oh, it's like David said, Lord, speak to me, be not silent, lest I go into the pits like others. I would much rather God speak to me and chasten me and convict me or give me joy and peace than be silent to me. Because a believer knows in either way God's working in my life. But oh, when God is silent, that's a terrible thing to be in. So the believer, when God speaks to his heart, when he hears, and the truth of God begins to work in his heart, he pries more deeper into it. He digests it and he ripens it by meditation. Notice the difference between the diligent doer of the Word and the slothful hearer. Beholds and straightway goeth his way. He looks at it and he's off. But the doer looks into the perfect law of liberty. He's not off so quick. That's why I say as well, dearly beloved, just a little note of encouragement here. When you're doing your daily reading, I mean, you might have read through the Bible a year, whatever it might be. You're reading through Scriptures. Even if you're on the first chapter of 4 you have to read for the day, if something, let me use this for lack of a better term, if something jumps out at you, you better forget being faithful to read the rest of it. You better stay where you're at, because when God begins to speak to you through the Word, park it. It doesn't always happen. Park it and think about it. Run scripture verses on it. Cross-reference them. Write down some notes. Park it for a while. You see, we're not sensitive enough many times to the Spirit of God. When we do hear, and He speaks to us, beloved, we ought to, not like Peter, be ready to set up three tabernacles or temples, but we ought to be ready to park and listen and look and pry and meditate. God, let it work mightily in my heart. Even if it's one verse, one text, one sermon. This, beloved, is how we see fruit produced in our lives. This is how we become like Daniel. Again, Daniel didn't just pray out of obligation. Daniel prayed out of his love and adoration for God. And it was evident in his life, because when they tried to find something against him, an offense toward the kingdom over his moral life, they couldn't. Why? He had an excellent spirit about himself. Amen? A lot of things in the book of Daniel. That's what a doer is. He doesn't behold it and off on his way. He looks, he cries, he meditates. Secondly, to look implies a diligent inquiry when you look into something. They don't content themselves with their first thoughts. Well, that was good. I like that. And then off. That's a here. Oh, wow. That's good. Lord. He inquires. They're not content with the first thoughts, but they seek diligently to pry into the mind of God revealed in His Word. So, preacher, nobody knows the mind of God. Oh, but we ought to seek with all diligence to get what we can. Amen? He gets in the Word. He inquires. He not just looks and meditates. He inquires. Continueth therein. Amen. How diligent our search is will all depend upon how gracious and precious Christ is to us. When Christ speaks, we're silent. And we meditate and we inquire. We see that same principle in the disciples when they walked amongst Christ. Remember when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. Why'd they ask that? They heard Christ pray. And they thought, oh, that we might pray like that. And when God begins to open up His Word to your hearts, and beloved, it begins to stir in your heart, we stop, we look, we meditate, we pry, we inquire. Oh God, may I know more of this in my own life. May I know it more effectively and thoroughly and truly. Amen. That's a doer of the Word. And thirdly, they look so much upon it with the desire to find the virtue of those truths in their hearts. This is just as important. They're not only looking to find Christ, that's the inquiry, but as they're looking to find Christ in that truth, they also turn it around and say, now, Lord, is this truth evident in my life? It's a process here. Touched, wow, moved, meditate, pry, look into, inquire. Oh, I see Christ in this. And now, Christ, I want to see more of that in me. It's a process. Amen? Because if not, then all we have is an intellectual assent or a knowledge. That's what Paul meant when he says, he says we seek God in prayer, we pray until Christ be conformed in you. He said we travail like a woman in birth, until Christ be formed in you. That's what the believer wants. He's moved, he's impressed, he's stirred. That's the sovereign grace of God. He's working at his heart. He sees the truth. He begins to meditate. He begins to pry into it. Look at it. He begins to inquire more about it. I see Christ in this. This is what I want to see. Christ. And now, Christ, may you help that truth now to be more evident in my life. And that's a doer of the Word. They look into the perfect law of liberty with a strong desire and longing to feel and experience the glory of Christ in their own hearts. You see, because that's what it's all about. Just like we're learning in Psalm 51, Psalm 51 is about David, his confession and his repentance. Psalm 51 is about Christ, his perfect salvation towards a sinner saved by grace. Beloved, this is what we need if we're ever going to be able to make any kind of effect in the community in which we live in. We've got to get out of the mold of being complacent and indifferent. We've got to begin to search diligently the Word of God. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in all those things, but I believe in the servitude of man. And I believe, dearly beloved, James is what we really need for 2008. If we're going to make a difference in the community, Grace Baptist Church is going to be able to prove to the community that we have more than just the average faith, if I can use that term, which I feel bad using. But, beloved, we need much more than that. Amen. And we need to be able to have that in the Spirit of Christ. And I say that because most churches who do possess or know or embrace the doctrines of grace, they're so haughty and arrogant, most people don't want to deal with them anyway. Such truth should never make us arrogant or haughty, but humble and meek, loving and kind and gracious and faithful. Amen. And like Daniel. Amen. Consistent. And even the small routines and habitual duties of our Christian life. Beloved, when that happens, we begin to glorify God. And when God's glorified, God will begin to bring in the harvest of souls. He'll begin to build His church. Amen. And I hope and pray that we were greatly challenged this morning, not only in Sunday school, but also this morning. Like I said, this is something we all need. Amen. Something that we're all in desperate need of is to not be hearers of the Word only, but to be doers. And I hope and pray these very practical lessons this morning would inspire our hearts and instruct our hearts and encourage our hearts and challenge our hearts. Amen. We got enough mediocre Christianity going around. We got enough of the common thing going around. We need something more, and yet that's going to require more on our part. Amen. A self-sacrifice, amen, a consecration, a desire and a longing. To do that, we can't do it without God's truth. So may God grant us to be doers of the Word, amen, looking into it, continuing in it, amen, that it might produce fruits in our lives, that others might see Christ in us, the hope of glory, amen. And I hope and pray that that would be our desire and our goal for 2008. Once again, I know, God, there's no time for God. Yesterday, tomorrow, it's always present by God, but there is for us. And we don't know what's awaiting us in 2008. But we do know one thing. The perilous times are going to keep growing until the Lord comes back. We need more than what we have now. Amen. We need more of God. We need more of consecration, more of sanctification. We need more of that. May God grant us His mercy and grace. Amen. To be doers of the Word. Amen. Let's pray.